Good morning, sisters and brothers. I trust that everyone here has had a powerful and wonderful Thanksgiving weekend. Today is the first Sunday in the season of Advent, and I greet you as we work together to celebrate the promise. My name is Skylar Rhodes, and I'm the pastor at Petaluma United Methodist Church, and I'm grateful to have the chance to share with you today. This podcast is a unique and powerful way to be in worship as we can simply hear and listen to an entire worship experience. My thanksgiving goes to all those who make this happen and grateful to all you who are coming here to participate. Let us prepare our hearts now as we call ourselves into worship.
Good morning. This is the first Sunday of Advent. Normally, we would have the Advent wreath set up on its stand with four colored candles, purple and pink, and one white, referred to as the Christ candle. The presentation of the Advent candles is different this season. The meaning is the same. We will continue to present an additional glowing candle each week of Advent, representing hope, love, joy, and peace, leading us up to the birth of the Christ child. This being the first Sunday of Advent, the first candle glows as a symbol of Christ, our hope. In a world of where so many despair, God lights a candle of hope in our hearts as we wait for a Savior who will be Emmanuel, Christ the Lord.
Please join me in the call to worship. This day we look back over the years. It was a time not unlike our own. The days were difficult and the times were hard. And through the darkness of those days came the yearning hope of God's promise. This promise comes to us also in this moment, in this season. It is a promise of new life, a promise of hope, a promise of abundance. Come, let us lay down our burdens and lift up God's promise to us, the promise of salvation and new birth.
Thank you. I will be reading the call to confession. Come, let us open our hearts to God in prayer as we lean into the promise of abundance in a season of pandemic and chaos. Let us pour out our brokenness and our hurt. Let us release our anger and our cynicism. Let us give God our sorrows and our tears as we seek renewal, hope, and forgiveness.
Prayer of Confession. Holy God, as we prepare in this season for a birth of new hope, we come to you and confess our hopelessness. As we look to a time when of new life, we come to you to confess that we have participated in the ways of death. And, Holy One, as we seek to be your church in this moment, we confess that we sometimes turn away from this task. We confess that we have not always loved you and our neighbor as we have been called to do by your Son, Jesus. Forgive us, we pray. Have mercy on us for the times when we stray and for the moments when we forget who we are and to whom we belong. Pour out on us, Holy One, a spirit of promise and possibility. Awaken in us a vibrant vision of our community and our lives together. We seek renewal in your love and salvation through your grace. And we seek this as we humbly give ourselves anew to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Forgiveness comes to us as pure grace. We have not earned, nor do we deserve such love. But still and always, it comes to us through Jesus Christ. In his name, our sins have been forgiven. Amen.
I will be reading from Psalms 80, verses 1 through 7. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who led Joseph like a flock, you who were enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us the scorn of our neighbors. Our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved.
Our scripture reading is from 2 Corinthians. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
Nanonda lesoni na mataka indindai, Sa koto mai na karoni kornida na wa se viwa. Mana tiki ne ono ki ne tini ki lima. Vango na kena rorongo. Iongo, o koe sa kambura wakarilai, e na tamusuka talanga wakarilai. Iko koe sa kambura wakarilebu, e na tamusuka talanga wakarilebu. Merandui sulia, me wakana kasa vina katuko koe ayandua e na elona. Me kakua e na voraki, se na viva saura rataki. Iko koe sa sulia e na marau, sa vina katana kalu. Asa raura wana kalu, me baka leo taka viki mdou, na ka niloloma kitha ngā. Me tū viki mdou, e na visinga, na yau kitha ngā eanga, e na ka kitha ngā. Ka mdou si vitha ke kina, e na thaka thaka vinaka kitha ngā. Me baka na ka sabulai, sa ndui mbimbiku ta kukoya, sa ndo sule vira na ndramdobua, sa tundei ka senga ni mundu na noni vala vala ndundonu. Iko kwa sando suli na sila wasa veka muragi, kena manrai me kakana, ena suli amanda na sila veke mdo milebu, ka vaka lebu taka, na vua ni na mdo ivala vala ndundonu. Mundo vaka vutu ni utaki ena kakeda nga, mundo yeki na naloloma keda nga, sa vaka dhurikina veke mdo na vaka vini vinaga vua na kalu. Nisaiye na takatako ongo, sa senga ni vaka rutaki walenga, na nondran rabunabua era salutu, ka tumbuta ki pagalibu talanga akina, na pavini vina ka pagalibu wana kalu. Nindu sa pagatopulai e na takata kongo, era sa pagaroro kotaka na kalu. Nindu sa tukuna kina na nomdu tali rao rawa, kina itukutuku binaka ki Kristo, e na fuku talanga ni takata kalolo amalibu, ongo ki veira. Veira talanga na tamata kitanga, I kuira talanga era sa masula ki kimdou, ka sa ndoloma ni kimdou, e nabuku ni loloma ni kalou, sa tuwe kimdou. Me iye nabuku ni vinaka buwana kalou, e nabuku ni noni suli suli, sa sianga ni tuku ni rawa. Dhe ngubo ba kalonga taka na kalou na nono bosa, nda tharonga da rawa na mataka indindai.
Hello, dear friends. Wonderful to be with you today as we prepare to receive the sermon. The title for today's sermon is The Promise of Abundance, and our scripture is 2 Corinthians 9, 6-9. Would you pray with me? Oh, great God, in this season of thanksgiving and promise, we come to you as your people. Open us up to receive this promise and to live into it. As we hear these words and as we live our lives in faith, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I'm sure most of you know, this is the first Sunday in Advent. For us, this day begins about 4 weeks of preparation, a time of reflection, meditation, and it has, for we in the Christian community, a growing sense of anticipation as we approach God's promise to us, the promise of salvation, the promise of a Savior to come. During these next weeks, we are going to focus on this promise in a series of sermons that will deal with different aspects of the idea of promise. As Paul writes here in 2 Corinthians 9:6, the point is this: it's about promise. And this week, our focus is on the promise of abundance. But before we go there in any specifics, I want to spend a little time with you about this idea, this notion of promise as it comes to us. And in the English language, the word promise has two quite different meanings. The first is the promise that someone makes. It's a vow, a commitment to do something, or, as the case may be, to not do it. I remember my kids trying to put off doing their homework with a wailing cascade of promises. Let me watch TV now and I promise I'll do my homework later. I also remember, in a more sober moment, promising my father-in-law that I would care for and love his beloved daughter when we got engaged nearly 3 decades ago. And then, of course, there is a different notion of promise that describes it as potential or possible capacity, right? There is a young person with a promising musical talent, or an athlete who shows promise, or a church with the promise of growth and revitalization. These two understandings of the word promise are key for us as we begin to explore the notion of promise during this season of Advent. I think the first notion of promise I mentioned as we explore this today belongs primarily to God for our context now. God promised to rescue Israel from slavery in Egypt, and God did that. God sent the people of Israel where? Into the promised land. God did that. God promised a Savior who would be the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, the King of Kings, and God did that. God keeps promises. For us, as frail, challenged, sometimes confused people, it's the second understanding of promise that comes to us today. And it is inextricably linked to the promise that God makes to us in Christ Jesus. As human beings, we show promise. That is, to say bluntly, we have a lot of unfulfilled potential. We are capable of incredible generosity. We are called to live up to that promise. In our pledging to our church, in our treatment of others, in the way we treat the poor and the destitute, we are capable of deep, deep love. We are called to live into that promise. We are called to participate in a love that is not jealous or rude, a love which puts others first, a love which releases our fears and leans into trust, a love that welcomes and embraces all people. We show great promise as bringers of justice and peace. We are called to fulfill this promise as we work to dismantle the deeply rooted sin of racism, as we strive to be sure that everyone has enough to eat and a place to sleep, as we unlock the prison doors and let the oppressed go free. This is the promise we show. You see, there are these two kinds of promises. One is God's, one is ours, and we live into our potential as we risk the great love to which we are called, as we fulfill the promise that is ours as God's created ones, as we live up to our potential. And then we will see that God does indeed keep God's promises. These two understandings of the word promise are interwoven and connected as we strive to be the people God calls us to be, as we strive to be a faithful and bold church. Now, hear me. This doesn't mean, friends, that we're released from the notion of keeping the promises that we make. No, we too must keep covenant with God and one another. We too must keep our promises, the ones we make probably daily. But to cast our connection and commitment to God in this sense of promise is to create a way for us to connect more deeply to the holy. It is to call us to our better selves, to push us to fulfill the promise God placed in us when we were created. And God breathes with us a kind of sacred conspiracy, if you will, in these two understandings of promise. As God keeps covenant with us as our God, as our Maker, as our Sustainer and Redeemer, so here we are sharing this dual sense of promise as we come to the notion of the promise of abundance. God reminds us in Deuteronomy that if we choose life, life over death, peace over war, gentleness over harshness, that we will have life and have it in great abundance. It is God's promise to us, but it is our collective choice to create that abundance in the way we live our lives together. And indeed, we have created abundance on our land. Look at this nation. But have we created, have we fulfilled our potential to make that abundance available to everyone equally? Our planet has the capacity to feed everyone, yet billions are hungry. Are we living into our promise? Our science makes it possible to offer health care to everyone, not just those who can afford it. Are we living into our promise? The nations of the world have the capacity to create free and just societies for all people. Are we living into our promise? God's promises and our promise, they're connected. They are like a breathing in and a breathing out. We inhale God's promise of a world redeemed and restored, and we exhale lives that are committed to this vision. We inhale God's incredible grace, God's love that comes to you and to me, whether we deserve it or not, and we exhale that same love as we share it with everyone, making no exceptions. There is a profound promise of abundance before us. This promise is writ in the design of creation. There is infinite variety and wonder around us, which proclaims this promise. How is it that we are bringing this very promise to life in us, in our church, in our world? See, I think this idea of abundance can be hard for us, given the social world that we have created. If you think about it, you'll see that we're taught from our youngest days about what I call the pumpkin pie philosophy, a great name for this Thanksgiving weekend. But simply put, the view of the world we are taught claims that, like that pie, there is only so much to go around. And we then are pushed and propelled into lives that are sometimes consumed with making sure we get our piece of that dang pie. I think you know what I mean here. This is called the theory of scarcity. It falsely limits what is available or what we think is available and envelops people in a needless rush to take care of themselves alone, to get their own. But God promises abundance. God promises the redemption of the world. God promises to feed 5,000 people with just a few loaves and fishes. And the question comes to us, how, friends, will we live into this promise? How will we fulfill our potential to create great abundance for all? How will we partner with God, with our potential, our promise, in ways that collaborate with the holy in the keeping of God's promise? You know, good news over the last few days about vaccines and such coming, and I can begin to see a light at the end of the pandemic tunnel. I know it's not going to happen tomorrow, but we know it will happen. A year from now, we'll be in a much different place, friends. And as we emerge from this time of difficulty and chaos, of danger and disease, how is it that we will plan and work for God's abundance? Friends, this is real. This is unbelievably potently before us. During this Advent season, in a quest for this, we are casting about as we work to create a vision for the future of this church. A huge piece of this vision has to do with how we will live into our promise of abundance, our capacity for not merely getting enough if we rent our buildings, not merely enough with fundraisers. And both of these things are fine and amazing and even fun. But I'm talking about a biblical vision of abundance that overflows with power. An abundance that transcends our sense of scarcity, our notion that we are too few, too poor, too limited by age to build a ministry that will be growthful, powerful, healing, and possessing of abundant life for all people. To envision an abundance that welcomes all, especially those who do not have a faith tradition. An abundance that flings open the doors of the imagination so that together we serve the children, the youth, the older people in our community. this week, this coming week, friends, you're going to get a letter. Some will get it through email, and we're going to mail it to the rest of you by U.S. Post. This letter calls us into visioning five particular areas in the life of our church. Five areas that include discipleship, it includes community engagement, building Christian community that is authentic, and mission, how our church is going to be engaged in mission, and infrastructure and administration. And you're going to be asked to reflect, pray, and share with us, your vision team, what your vision are according to this. As we receive your answers, we'll begin to see the picture, a vision of how we can live into the promise of God's abundance. So I want you to be ready for this and be prayerfully mindful of what's before us. And that's a vision of faithfulness, of growth, of health, of ministry and discipleship for 10 years from now. And on a Thanksgiving holiday such as this, the call to live into this abundant future is powerful. It's real. And so I invite you to become visionaries of abundance. I invite you to become ambassadors of God's promise. I invite you this Advent season to journey together as we seek a vision of hope and fruitfulness as God's people. So God bless you as we make this journey together into the promise that we have in one another and in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Would you pray with me? Gracious and wonderful God, in this season of Thanksgiving, as we prepare to receive the gift of the Holy Child, we come to you in prayer and celebration. We come to you as your people, gathered, if remotely, around tables of Thanksgiving. And God, though the days seem difficult, we know we have much that we are to be thankful for. God, we have the gift of family. We have the gift of friends and fellowship, the gift of Christian community, and for it all, we give you thanks. God, we have the gift of places to sleep and enough to eat, and we give you thanks. And even in our Thanksgiving, God, we invite your Spirit to come and live within us. We invite your resident Spirit to come and seize our hearts so that where we are tired, you will lift us up. Where we are isolated and alone, you will embrace us with the company of your Spirit. Where we are ill and struggling, he will send us the Spirit of healing. In all of it, God, we need you, and we submit and give our hearts to you as we work together to be your church. Come find us, Holy Spirit. Seek us out and embrace us as community and as individuals. We pray this in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Tamaki mami mailo malangi, me varoro taikine damuni. Me ado mai na nomuni matintu. Me daga na loma muni e burbura, me pakasa daga me loma langi. Ni sile me viki mami ni singongo na kaka na ruti ki mami. Ni mokoda manda ni nema mi dagadala. Me pakaki mami sa mokoda, uere sa dagadala viki mami. Ni kako ni koti ki mami gina vere. Kamu ni vambuli ke mami maina da. Ni sa nomuni na matintu. Kena kaukaua. Kena langi langi. Asangani mundu. he mene.
Now we have arrived at the moment when we return our gifts and tithes, all of which have come from God in the first place, to the work of God and God's church. I invite you to give generously, and if you have yet to make your pledge this season, I encourage you to do so. It helps us to plan for what we think will be coming in so that we can do more and greater work. However you give is up to you. You can write a check and bring that to the church office. You can mail it to the church office. You can also go online and give by pushing the donate button. And we have a new method of giving through texting. And there are instructions to about how to do that in the bulletin that is before us in the podcast. However you give, I urge you to have a joyful and generous heart as we seek to revive, renew, and grow our Christian ministry together. Thank you so much. Let us pray. God, we dedicate these gifts that we have returned to your church for the work of your ministry. We dedicate them to the love that never goes away. We dedicate them to the hope that is born through the child that comes among us. And we dedicate them to service in your blessed name. May we be the bringers of justice and hope. May we pull disciples along with us so that we might find folks to follow your way and learn your way alongside us. And may we also always, always build authentic Christian community in the blessed name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear these words of benediction. Now may the God of hope dwell within you. May the God of love envelop you. May the God of comfort walk with you. And in all things, may we go our way, claiming and proclaiming thanksgiving in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.